Part 1. Frank.
Squoing? Squoing? Squoing?
It was the most annoying sound he had ever heard. It sounded like a squeaky toy being dry-humped by a donkey. Apparently, the new kid next door owned a trampoline. The only reason Frank was sitting in the back garden at all was to avoid the noise of the removal men at the front of the house. The day he dreaded since Mrs. Palmer Machen had moved out had finally arrived, and he'd awoken to the sound of new neighbours. Mrs. Palmer Machen had been the perfect neighbour. She had spoken only to say good morning, and often not even that. She rarely made any noise, and the only sound that could be heard through their shared wall was her TV, the volume of which had increased ever so slightly as her hearing began to fail. But one evening, last December, there had been a commotion next door, the sound of something being knocked over, and Frank had looked from an upstairs window to see the old woman standing in the street in her underwear. He had gone outside, gently guided her back into her house, and found a number for her daughter tacked to the fridge. Within hours, she was spirited away to live in Cleethorpes or Skegness, or some other disintegrating seaside dump where fun and the elderly go to die. Since that day, the only signs of life from number 32 had come a few weeks later when Mrs. Palmer Machen's daughter and son-in-law had arrived and begun emptying the woman's life into bin liners and then their car. The son-in-law, as he departed, insisted to Frank that the seaside was the perfect place for the old lady to enjoy her final years. Of course, Frank thought, the Victorian swore by the sea air, and there was something vaguely poetic about a person seeing out their days in a place where the land runs out. But he was annoyed by the son-in-law's cheeriness about the whole thing, and so he had replied that, yeah, he was sure Mrs. Palmer Machen would be thrilled to spend her twilight years in some crumbling shithole where dirt meets water. "Shoot me first," he'd grumbled. And his old neighbour's son-in-law had walked back to the car with a look that suggested he would quite enjoy doing exactly that. That had been over 10 months ago, and the house had stood empty since. A fact that suited Frank perfectly. Empty, that is, until today, when the sound of boxes and furniture being delivered and scraped around the house next door echoed within the walls of his own. By 10 a.m, Frank's teeth began to itch with every thud and thump. And so, with a sense of weary anxiety and dread, feeling he could take no more, he decided, with a mug of tea and newspaper in hand, to escape into the weed forest and testicles-high grass of his back garden. Of course, it would have made more sense to escape entirely for a few hours, to head to a local pub or coffee shop, but the thought never occurred to him. That was, after all, beyond the gate. The back garden would have to do. Frank shielded his face as he stepped out of the back door, as though he was a vampire expecting to burst into flames. It felt alien to venture outside and into the glare of the sun, and as his eyes adjusted to the light, it came as a vague surprise to find the garden in quite such a state of disarray. What had once been his neat vegetable patch was now a twisted mess of roots and garden canes. Ivy and wisteria battled against fence panels on either side of a narrow lawn that was now a meadow. And their old wooden greenhouse at the top of the garden leaned drunkenly, its glass pierced by brown tomato plants and prickly fruit trees. Casting his eyes around, Frank spotted a plastic chair on the patio behind him. It was painted green with algae, unfolded and facing the garden, as though someone had been sitting there the entire time, a spectator to the ruin. He put his newspaper under one arm, picked up the chair, and dropped it into the middle of his once carefully tended lawn. Balancing his mug of tea on the chair's arm, he sat down with a groan. With something approaching satisfaction, he noted how quiet it was. Opening the newspaper to a random page, Frank's moment of satisfaction died as he found a full-page advertisement for Black Friday deals and a picture of an impossibly perfect couple standing side by side, wearing just their pants, smiling widely, having won something called Love Island. He grunted again. Everybody seemed to be in their pants these days, in magazines and newspapers and on TV, always half naked.